Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is nobody. Guys, solo intro today. The rare Dustin solo intro here. And you know what? I'm going to keep it short because, as I've always said, the people that hate me, I get it. It's a weird thing when someone doesn't like you and you're like, no, I agree with you in this scenario. We share that in common. It hurts my feelings, but I understand where you're coming from. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our podcast. We have a very, very funny episode today, and we talk a lot of comedy with one of my favorite comics and a friend of mine named Sam Morrell, everybody. Sam, you can follow him on Twitter, at Sam Morrell. That is with one L. I always, you know, no offense, Sam, if you are listening to this, I always forget how many L's in that last name. So you can give him a follow on Instagram or Twitter. There, he also has a podcast that you can check out at Sam Morrell. But perhaps most importantly, if you watched my special this week and you're like, man, I need more outdoor comedy in my life, then he released a brand new special. He released it just this last week, same as me, called Sam Morrell Up on the Roof. It's the full special, and you can watch that on his YouTube page. So go to his YouTube, and you can find that right there. Up on the Roof. It's amazing special. He filmed it, did a bunch of outdoor shows on different roofs in New York, and chopped them together. It's great. It's cool. It's punk rock. If you guys want, like I said, just some more outdoor comedy in your life, in addition to my special, then go check that out. I will say this about Sam. Sam and I share a lot in common. Various insecurities rooted maybe from different childhood things that we talk a little about, a love of stand-up comedy, a mutual hurt from our NBA teams and our former NBA teams. We talk a little bit about that. We also, one thing that we do not have in common is that I am a clean comedian and Sam is not. Use your discretion. God bless Stephen English, who got to really got to flex his finger's going to be hurting from all the beeps that he put in this episode with Sam, which is totally my fault, 100% my fault, because I didn't tell Sam that we're a clean podcast. But you guys know, the backseaters, you guys know, it's not that we're a clean podcast. It's, you know, we'll put a bleep, you can say whatever you want, and we'll bleep and edit accordingly. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Sam, and go check out his thing. Now, with that being said, for those of you who watched my special, my debut comedy special that came out this weekend, it was supposed to come out on Thursday. It did come out on Thursday in one place, and then it came out on the other place on Friday night. I am overwhelmed by the response. It's been really humbling and really encouraging how many folks watched it, shared it, told friends about it. And just like this podcast, just like everything that I've kind of put out, the reason that it picks up traction or doesn't pick up traction is based on you guys and your love and you guys sharing it. So thank you. It could not mean more to me. The best thing, the best feeling in the world to me is when people like something and then they tell a friend. And I had a couple people tell me that one nice thing that someone said is, I feel like I get to be a hero by giving this to other people and introducing this to other people, which is, you know, one of those things that's kind of a compliment because they're like, oh, this is really good. Also, there's no way my friends have heard of you. So it hurts my feelings a little bit. But I'm very relieved. I'm very happy. Well, let's not get carried away. I'm not happy, but I'm very relieved that it's out. It's nice to put that behind me and now have a bunch of new projects and things in promotion to worry and be anxious about. But that big one right there, which is easily the biggest project I've ever worked on, bar none. There's nothing even close to it, but it's out and it's done and it's in the world. And if you have not watched that, well, I mean, you know, you'll get to it eventually, I imagine. You can go to my website. The link will be here in the episode as well. You can go to my website and check that out on Amazon or on a website called Gumroad, which if you're like, hey, I want to give Jeff Bezos a little less money, you can go watch it there. It's $4.99 to rent, $9.99 to own. Sam's is free, and I get that. I had someone give me a hard time. I've had one person give me a hard time about charging, and he said, what are you, the Pope? This is ridiculous. And I said, no, I am a comic who has been mostly out of work since March. So, you know, if you want to chip in the $4.99 to $9.99, much appreciated. That being said, guys, short intro today, and I want you guys to go enjoy this episode with Sam. You know, Sam is one of my favorite comics, and I get to talk a lot of comedy with him. So you will hear us reference Taylor a few times. That is Taylor Tomlinson, who he's dating. So a little context there. I realize that we didn't set that up, and I'm not outing them in any way whatsoever. And this is not, guys, this is not that kind of, we are not Entertainment Weekly. Yeah, he recorded from his place in New York and here, of course, here in San Diego in the southwest corner of my bedroom slash our studio. So everybody, enjoy this episode with Sam. Check out his special. Check out my special if you haven't already. Thank you guys for being the best. We love and appreciate you guys so much. I wanted to start off by saying this. So I just did you're probably doing the same thing. Like you're doing a bunch of like promo or whatnot, yeah, as much as you can. And I just did a radio interview from where I'm from in Seattle. And this girl goes, you know, I just have to say, do you think that 2020 has made you funnier? And I like immediately corrected her and was like, no, 2020 has not helped anyone in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, except for like knowing we could be pushed to the brink and surviving mentally, I think. That's the only way. But yeah, I remember one time I read this Leonard Cohen book of interviews and this woman asked him, do you think you have to be depressed to write these great songs? And he goes, no, I write them in spite of depression. It's like the myth of the starving artist.
Totally.
You're better if you're not starving.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, like that's what I told her. I was like, you know, I would have loved to do this special indoors.
Did that bum you out at all that your first hour you release is outdoors?
Yes and no. I mean, in some ways, it does, certainly, because I don't know if I'm sure you felt this, but I'm like, every single one of these jokes has performed better.
Yeah.
You know,
like I'm looking at my special the way I look at like a corporate gig. I'm like, this deserves more than every joke. It's insane. You know? Yes. I get mad. So looking at some of the clips, I'm just like, ah. And I also like yours looks prettier than mine because I'm doing like a grittier thing on roof. So I think in like 4 months, people are gonna be like, yeah, why would I watch this? When I can watch an indoor thing. I don't know. It's tough.
Your scenically looks much prettier than mine, but that's just New York showing off. You're like,
yeah.
I mean, I think yours looks great. I love it. And I think the laughs sound great, but we're always like way harder on ourselves.
It's tough. Yeah. It's anytime you're about to put something out, I think you just go into panic mode.
Right.
Where you're just like, what's wrong with this? It's like, it must be like you're married. I'm not. So it must be some version of like cold feet before a wedding. I don't know.
Probably. No, that checks out. I mean, I think I was more nervous about this special than marriage, because marriage, I would feel like I'm only failing one person.
Yes.
But this just feels like I'm letting everybody down. It's mostly myself if this goes out, you know.
No, I mean, I think you gotta put stuff out though. I think you need to, like, there's a risk of overcooking an hour. There's a risk of hold it on too long and then you don't even like the material.
Right. How long? Because, you know, this is your fourth, fifth. How many have you put out now? Four? This is your fourth?
I did a half hour with Comedy Central that had like a 50-minute album with it. I did an hour for Comedy Central. I did then another hour on Comedy Central's YouTube channel. And then, right. Yeah, this is my fourth special, I guess.
Right. So you're talking about like overcooking. I mean, you're such like a machine as far as like writing material goes that
a lot of it's topical and a lot of it's just, if I don't put it out, it's like no one wants to laugh.
Yeah.
Like I had to cut election jokes from this because
yeah,
I didn't want to open with more than two. I thought more than two, then people are going to Mark Norman watched it for me. And he goes, if I see more than two, I'm going to think, is this a political special?
And right.
I don't want that to be the tone. So
it is true. Like when you go back and you hear someone doing like a bunch of like Bill Clinton material followed by OJ material, you're like, all right, this like one of my favorite specials when I was a kid was Dana Carvey's The Critic's Choice. And it's like a half an hour on Clinton and OJ.
Right. You know? At the time, it's very impressive. But
it's
yeah,
so you want, good. Yeah.
You want your material, and I love Dana Carvey, but you want your material to, you know, have a shelf life.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So for me, this was when you were talking about overcooking. I mean, this was like the totality of my career to date.
Right.
You know, so some of these jokes were like, you know, I wouldn't say there's anything in there that I wrote in my first couple of years, but some of these jokes are like 5, 6 years old that I'm like, man, if I tell this again, I'm going to die. Like I'm dying as I say it, you know?
It's tough. And then you kind of start to resent some of the material, you know, yeah. but then you have to start with a new hour and you're like, I do anything. It's like an ex-girlfriend. You're like, I didn't appreciate what I had, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's tough. It's yeah. tough to let go of material, but then it's also, you know, you have a few that you're like happy to.
Yeah. Well, I just did that weekend with Taylor that like all of, like the old stuff that I still like a little bit that's in the special, I would do the new stuff and it would do okay. And then you'd bring out that old stuff. And yeah, it's like you're saying, it's like, I shouldn't have hated this so much. This is pretty good.
Yeah. Know? Well, the old stuff is, it's still there for a reason. You
exactly.
Know? Some of the,
yeah.
Some of the new stuff is killing sometimes just due to excitement.
And yeah. 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 Yeah.
Some of the old stuff, it stood the test of time. It's been there. There are jokes that like I let go of even on like my first album. And I'm like, how do I write a joke like that again? I miss jokes. I don't know.
I was with Nate once, Bergazzi, and he was talking about on corporates, like you said, and he's like, yeah, you know, every once in a while I'll turn back the, you know, his first one was called Full Time Magic, right, on Comedy
sure,
Central.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
And he refers to it in that too. He's like, man, sometimes I brush off that Full Time Magic and it's like, woo.
Yes. Yes. I
like
mean,
like an ex-fling, like well, you said.
The funny thing is when you're doing one of those corporate type gigs or any gig that's kind of a hell gig or could be, and you start breaking out like you're like in your mind or your greatest hits and you're still bombing and you're like, well, this just wasn't meant to be. I tried, you know.
Yeah. But sometimes you tough. Just got to take the L, that's for sure. Like, and the check.
Yeah. You feel like you're like Kyrie Irving or something. You're breaking out the handles and you're doing everything. And then you just like can't sink the shot. And you're like, I just broke like a whole defense. Yeah. And I still couldn't score. It's killing you.
I'm impressed we made it this long before we got a basketball metaphor, honestly.
I compare everything to basketball. And who's got a sadder basketball team situation? You who lost the Sonics or me yeah. who's still a Knicks fan? Who
yeah. This know. Is like, it really is like an abusive father or a dad who left. I don't know which one's worse.
And it's abusive. Usually an abusive dad that will give you some reason to like love them.
Yeah.
They'll like give you like a taste, I think. I don't know. I feel like oh, nice cup, Reese's.
Oh yeah. This is the kind of stuff that your children get you for Christmas.
Oh, like, all right.
Oh, dad'll love a Reese's mug.
Is like, it disappointing that you like take a sip and it's just coffee with a mug like that?
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it probably originally came full of Reese's. Uh-huh. And yeah, and you would want it to taste a little more like Reese's as is. But I think this was bought on the Vegas Strip at the Reese's factory. And I had to like turn my head so I didn't see them buying it for me.
Oh, nice. Oh, being classic. A dad. A lot, yeah. A lot. Like, dude, the M&M store, the Reese's store, like those are the things that if they close in the pandemic, you'll be like, we'll be okay.
Yeah. You
know? I'm not going to like pass Times Square, like the M&M store. No.
But in reality, they're the things that have the best chance of making it.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, I've passed so many mom and pop restaurants and they're like, it's brutal. These great New York spots that I love.
When you come back at Times Square, it's only going to be an H&M. You know, it's
although you know what, they're struggling badly right now. They just closed like I think like 100 stores. Or
something. Oh, are they? Man.
Yeah, when H&M starts struggling, you're like,
it's gonna be bad. I think about all the companies that like are like kind of big that like but took their loss early, like a Soup Plantation, which you know like is the chain like at the, like in like March they were like it's almost like they saw it coming and they're like we're just gonna get out of here and they're brilliant. For doing that, because these people that have been holding on, these companies that have been holding on for 8-9 months, they're hemorrhaging. You know, what's the vibe like right now in Times Square? Is it all the shiny stuff but no people?
I think we're due for like the 60s in Times Square again. We're due for like a John Voight as a prostitute and Midnight Cowboy. I don't know. It's not like it's just quiet. It's weird. Like it's weird to walk through Times Square and for it to be tolerable. And you're like, oh, it's because of a pandemic. So it sucks because usually when New York is empty, it's joyous. And now it's just, it's weird that it's empty, but there's still traffic. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how like the city that people are like the city's abandoned. I'm like, cool. It still took me an hour and 15 to get to JFK. Uber. So I don't know how that happened, but I don't know. You've been on the road though, like crazy. Is that scary at all? Are you still kind of loving it?
I've been doing a version of the road, you know.
A lot of outdoor gigs, right?
Yeah, mostly backyards. My original thought was I wanted to kind of do what you were doing only in backyards, you know? And then this thing came with transit and the studio or the parking lot that I did it in. And I was like, this is a better option, you know, because otherwise, like yours is brilliant in so many ways. But one of the things is like, even though it's different roofs, I mean, you were still in New York. I was going to have to bring people with me to where I'm doing these gigs, which is like, you know, like just at middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. Like they were small and I didn't want to pay people to come do that. Though I think, you know, ideally I can do a special indoors in a year or two, but you know, next time maybe we'll do the backyard one. But I will say this, like I don't know, because you've done a little traveling, right? It's kind of similar to like what you're saying with Times Square is like it's very dreamy right now because there's nobody in these airports.
Yeah, it's not a fun travel experience. Like I used to like love going to the Delta Club and stuff, and that's not a thing now. And like all the joys of traveling are kind of out the door.
Right.
It sucks. And it's also like the fear that every time you have a headache, you're like, do I have COVID? God, it's just taken so much of our peace. So that's tough.
Yeah. Yes. From a peace of mind standpoint, it's much worse from a not very many people, like, because like you're getting like whole rows to yourself constantly. Right. Like that's nice, but I would still rather have someone next to me than be afraid that the flight attendant who won't put her mask on is going to give me COVID. You know,
I just know, like, I know you, it would suck to get it from someone that you like so many New York comics have gotten it now that I'm like, it sucks to know who gave you COVID. Doesn't it? Cause it just changes your relationship. Yeah. I feel like that just like, there's all these New York comics who have it and they all kind of know.
Yeah.
But if you totally know who gave you COVID, you're like, all right, I guess it depends how bad your COVID is. Cause I just did Michael Yo's podcast. I mean, that guy, it took him like 6 months to get back to full health. He's a healthy guy. I mean,
But
then there's like Chris Christie who's like, yeah, I'm good. And you're like, are you f-ing kidding me? Like, how is this disease is weird.
It is so strange. I saw a big thread about that on Twitter today of like a 23-year-old who had like a stroke that came from me. He was like, everything, he had it. Symptoms were like like a little bit of chest pain. And then he had a stroke out of nowhere. He almost died. You're just like, And then you hear like, you know, like you said, like, you know, overweight 75-year-olds kick it like they, you know, like they had heartburn. You know, I took a couple Tums and moved on.
I like that you said overweight 75-year-olds, and I'm like, oh yeah, our president. That's immediately where
I was going to say Trump, but Trump's such a bad example because he had everything. He had like Trump kicking it was not helpful to anybody because you're like, well, yeah, he's the president of the United States. Like whatever the best thing we had, he was going to get, you know?
Yeah, and also, exactly, it's a bad example. It's also hilarious that he just didn't seem to feel bad about giving it to Melania at all. Like any other...
He gave it to anybody in the White House. Everybody in the White House got it.
But Melania is the big one because that is the wife. And it's funny to like any other marriage that would throw off the dynamic, but the dynamic's dead. There's no...
Yeah.
Any other marriage, I feel like they'd be like, you're in the doghouse. They live in, he lives in a doghouse with her and he doesn't care. It's like, he's like, I'll just have, it's just, I'm fine in the doghouse. I'm good.
It's so funny. You are right though. Like you don't want it to be someone you love or someone you even know. Like it's kind of like an internet troll. Like it hurts less when it's anonymous, but like,
exactly.
If a comp, like a friend says something, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. It is like a, for sure. And, yeah, man. I mean, I just can't wait for this to be over. I'm sure the vaccine's going to be a nightmare. I'm sure like just everything about getting it here. They're like, we're using dry ice. I'm like, oh, f***ing A. Like, why is everything about this have to be such an ordeal?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. You know, I wonder, I mean, I didn't know the vaccine to me. I mean, it's like, it seems like it's going to be a peace of mind thing, if nothing else.
For sure. But that's kind of just what we need right now. I mean, just Biden winning. I'm like, all right, there's some peace of mind. There's some, a guy who's just not going to troll. Like, is he going to be like a very effective president? Probably not. But he's a guy who's just going to give you a break. You know what I mean?
Right. It felt like, I was trying to write a bit about it, about how like, you know, if you are left, it's not like Biden winning is not like you had like a walk-off home run. It was it was more like the other team walked in the winning run. Like it's not that exciting, but you did win, you know.
Biden's like an annoying dad. And Trump is like a drunk uncle. Where you're just like, all right, I don't want to live with the drunk uncle. Like I resent the annoying dad, but I can live with him.
As someone who my household was, no joke, an annoying dad and a drunk uncle. That was all I had. I agree with you. I'll take the annoying dad over the drunk uncle all day long.
For sure. And I don't know. I mean, we keep saying, how can it get worse? You remember all the people last year were like, 2019, like, what a bad year. Like, one celebrity that were sad died. So they're like, this year. And now we're like, no, but like, see, I think the year is paying attention to you saying that year. Because now 2020 is bad.
Yeah. What are people going to have like for 2021 resolutions? What are you even going to write? Just.
I mean, for me, it's like to get my body back on track. I mean, this is like embarrassing. I'm eating like stress levels right now that are unprecedented. So I'm just eating like, I'm drinking, I'm trying to scale it back. But man, it's like, I think the first 2 weeks of this was like, it was like vacation drinking. And now it really does feel like panic drinking again.
There's somebody needs to make a meme of the Jimmy Butler when he was all tired out, you know, after that game. Only that's our that's our livers right now.
Oh my God. That's good. You should do that. It's also like, I feel like week one was like spring break. And then like now we're drinking like Don Draper just to like hide wounds, you know? So it's a lot, but you know, hopefully this is the home stretch. Hopefully we're almost there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Now, do you think that all the New York comics got COVID because you guys were all performing in the same plexiglass at the Cellar?
I don't know. I don't want to name.
You don't need to name names.
I don't know, man. I went to the Cellar a couple times. I kind of just don't like sharing too much of environments if I don't know where everyone's been. And a lot of those comics, if you're not wearing a mask indoors around me, I'm just kind of like, maybe you're just not being careful. Like,
right.
So I'm not like, I don't want to be the narc either. I don't want to be the guy who's like, do you mind? It's like, I'm a comic. I didn't get in this career to like institute rules. So I just try to keep my space. And
right.
You know, that's part of why I did Roofs, is because I can kind of make all the rules. So
right, right.
I just want to do what's right for me and if what right for other people, you know, just hopefully you're being somewhat cautious. And
is it too cold to do them now? It's pretty cold.
It's funny. Some guy, I mean, the last roof I did, I'm like breathing and you're seeing my fingers were
frozen.
But some guy wanted me to do his roof on like Saturday. And some of these guys are like, they're just paying you dog amount of money. And I really just want to do it for the reps. And they're still assholes. And I'm like, you think I can't make like a few $100 on another roof? You know what I mean? Like, this isn't the only roof in town, believe it or not. Yeah. Like, so I kind of, it's already like, and it's not exactly like a dream gig. I'm like, oh, cool. 35 degree weather on a penthouse roof with like a bunch of like people that don't give a shit about that. So it's like some of the gigs are great and then some are hell gigs. So you learn which ones feel like if the person I'm dealing with is an asshole, chances are their friends aren't going to be the greatest people.
Yeah.
In the world.
So, that's what I realized on the backyard gigs is they were so dreamy because, like it was a fan that was booking me and they were like giving me a good amount of money and they would invite all the right people. But I did a couple where, I don't know, I was like, I wasn't really feeling it with the booker and they were like, kind of kept trying to lowball me. And then sure enough, it's just, of course that person has terrible friends.
Yeah, I had someone be like, you made us move. One woman I did like her birthday and they wanted me to, they were like kind of a nightmare group of girls and all pissed drunk. And I told her like, oh, I have a camera crew here. They moved it to a courtyard. I said, I hate to be annoying. We need a roof. I can blast fans and I can find a roof. Can we just bring everyone? I'll get one in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they were very pissy about it. They caused a huge fit. And then of course, like we find a roof a block away and guess what? It's her boyfriend. And I'm like, you could have done this. So we go to the roof. They of course talk my entire set. They're all drunk. And then they like messaged me, you should really charge us less for the inconvenience. And I was like, so these are some of the people you're dealing with. I was just like, nope, it's the same price. Sorry, you weren't happy with the show, but you're doing. And then some of the people were like the coolest people ever. And then some would just be like, I'd be like, hey, I get a friend who had a roof and I just invite fans. And I'd be like, here's what I want. And you get a great group of people that way.
I think, you know, you and I were talking a lot about this kind of like in some of the stuff we were doing like in the spring and I don't think we've talked since our both respective specials, but I'm looking at your special and it's so cool and it's so punk rock and it's so independent. And
some days it feels punk rock. Other days I'm like, I think I'm mentally ill that I just, well, I don't just DM strangers to perform on rooftops. It's an insane.
I don't think those things cancel each other out. True. I don't think. I think
that's
those.
A good point.
I think those are married, as a matter of fact.
True.
I love it, man, and I just like I don't know, man. You just made a thing and you just gave it to the people. I mean, that's one thing that we both share in common. You know, there are some things that people say yes to, and then there are other things that you're like, well, I guess I'm just going to do this myself. Otherwise, it's not going to get done.
Yeah, you kind of have to, you know, you kind of have to just check your ego because this is it just doesn't go as planned. You just think your career is going to go one way. You think your life's going to go one way. And there are people that worry so much about things that you can't control. And look what happened this year. I mean,
they were
right. So I say we blame them. But you have to make your own stuff, I think. And not wait around. Like, I think if you wait around for someone to like give you these days, you're going to just get angry and bitter.
Right.
You need to really, and you're going to do a disservice to all the hard work you're doing.
Right. So
I think you just, if you want to make stuff, there's ways to do it. And, and look, we're both doing these in ways where like, you got to have some humility and you got to do gigs that are not ideal, especially now. Like what keeps you in the game right now?
Yeah. I know I'm doing drive-ins with Nate this weekend. And I will say that a drive-in is probably of the things that I've done during this time, Zoom shows, outdoor shows, like spaced out indoor shows. I think drive-ins are the worst.
I mean, I can't imagine how bad they are. it looks terrible. Doesn't it? I mean, it's like, I, I, You said they honk?
What? Yeah, I haven't done them with Nate yet, and so maybe it'll be different. But I mean, if I mean, a car is a car. So I what the Irvine Improv is doing,
is anyone like, that was a Mercedes honk? That was one of those that was one of those high class honks.
Or like they got the rhythm to sound more like a laugh, you know, they held it longer.
Even a fake I mean, dude, it sounds horrible to me. I don't understand it. But I guess they can fit a lot of people there, so you can make some money doing those.
It's a money thing, yeah. I mean,
that's what some of these specials are. I mean, isn't that what Chelsea Handler's special was with cars, or was it not?
I didn't see Chelsea Handler's special. Couldn't tell you.
But with honks, it's like, I guess it's the safe way, but that's what my reps were telling me, is like the optics of mine weren't great because some of these outdoor shows, the people weren't masked. They were friends. So they would have done that for dinner. So that was kind of my logic, is like, these are friends and family. Some of these roofs, the ones that were my people, I said, hey, would you mind masking up?
But
I can't just tell people how to be. So,
yeah, exactly.
But I think that presented like a difficult, you know, maybe I was setting them up for some backlash. Or maybe that's just an excuse they tell me, they tell their clients to make them feel better about the quality of the material. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. We've said this before too. Like, it's just impossible to please everybody right now, you know? And if you make a special, you know, with cars, it's going to be bad because of the cars. And if you make a special indoors, it's going to be because it's indoor. And outdoors, are they wearing masks? I mean, it's just, I watched, you know, a chunk of Kevin Hart's, and I was like, yeah, this feels like people with masks spread out inside a house, you know, like not great. You know, it's not an ideal year. So none of these are going to be ideal specials, but that doesn't mean they're not still great. And I think people are really hungry for content right now and are glad that people are still making stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think people want new things to watch. Also, I it's weird. Like, I do think in like 4 months, I worry, especially, you know, I worry with outdoor specials that they're going to be like, why do I watch this? I don't want to think about the pandemic.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about the pandemic. And the same way I hear it's like hard to sell shows about the pandemic, because by the time you make the show, they're going to be like, I don't want that. I don't want to think about it.
Right.
It's kind of like when I see a movie, I don't want to compare this to 9/11, but like when I see that Oliver Stone 9/11 movie, I'm like, yeah, I lived it. I don't want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. I worry about that too, because, you know, you made this thing and you worked hard on it. It was the first one, you know.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's just gonna be, because your special is like mine, and that there is some topical stuff, but then you've got stuff on relationships and, you know, just normal normal topics that are still pretty timeless. So hopefully people will just look at it and go, oh, this was filmed during that time. There's no way they're going to forget it, you know?
Yeah, I hope that's the case. I hope that we are fine. I just always, I'm pessimistic about everything.
And, well, that's a good segue. So, because we do a disservice if we didn't talk some family stuff. Where's the pessimism come from? Is that a familial thing, or did you just take that out on your own?
I think my mom is anxious. I don't think she's a pessimist. I think she's kind of like, I think in a, she's weirdly optimistic, actually. I think I'm probably just, I've maybe got some of her nervousness, and then that nervousness turns to like, it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, that combo from your mom is weird, to be anxious and optimistic. Is she excited for what's happening, or she's.
Yeah. She is pretty supportive. I have a very good, my family's supportive. My mom is, she's very much like, well, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm doing it. Like, she does it. Like, she does it. Like, I'm not thinking. Like, she'll say like, I was with Taylor the other day and we ordered in food. I was on the phone with my mom, and my mom was like, oh, we got to go. We just ordered food. My mom's like, and you know, for them to leave it downstairs. And I was like, I got a system. Like, I have a system. Like, you think I didn't figure out. I mean, I have a bit about this in another special where I was on the phone with her and I saw a dead pigeon, and she goes, don't touch it. And I was like, I know. You know what I mean? Like, I know not to, like, it's just, yeah. That's my mom. She worries a lot.
Yeah.
So I made her worry. I was a bad kid. My brother and sister were, you know, overachievers, and I acted out for attention. So I'm sure that did not help.
Oh, this is putting the puzzle together of of comedy. So are you're the youngest of the two overachievers?
Yes, and they're step siblings. So I was like the only biological son.
Okay.
She had. So I think there was that other layer. He's like the this is the one I brought to the table, and he's up. I'm sure she was like panicking extra. So
that's just such a funny thing to say about your child. This is my contribution. This one, this one's 100% me. As far
she just always thought I had a very like low opinion of myself. Like I'd make jokes about being a fuck up all the time, and she hates that because that's not how she sees me. But I was like, well, I'm being self deprecating, Mom. They're jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do that balance of like of self hatred and a big ego?
Of every comic, I think every comic has an insane combination of self loathing and narcissism because you need to be self centered for a pursuit like this. You need to be so self involved to think about yourself all day, even if you're in therapy all the time. You're self involved, even if you're working on yourself to be better. So with comedy, if you're working on bits all the time and you're thinking about yourself and your thoughts, you're tuning people out for jokes, you want to live in your head. That's a self-involved thing.
Then
you can still hate yourself because you're putting yourself out there. You're being rejected all the time. So there is, of course, a combination of being thin-skinned and thick-skinned. You're, being thin-skinned helps you probably be creative because you're in touch with your feelings, but you need to be thick-skinned to eat shit on stage. So, I think you constantly have that battle or like, I f-ing hate myself. And like, why don't I have more also? Yeah, of course. No comic thinks they're overrated. I've never heard a comic be like, I deserve less,
Yeah. That's I definitely at times have like the imposter syndrome stuff where I'm like the things that I do get, I'm like, well, I don't deserve that anyways. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, why didn't I get that? You know, it's like,
it's a
really dumb conundrum to live in, you know, that is, but I was going to say this earlier, like, it's so funny. You said like, you put the thing out and now we're like worried what other people are going to think about it, you know?
Of course.
But we still have a need for people to think about us. Like, that's why we not think about us, but we don't want to get judged. And yet we throw this stuff out there to be judged. We are professionally judged. That's our job. Most people have this fear, but then don't get on a stage 400 times a year.
They don't have videos out there where they see comments about themselves. That's true. Right? They don't expose themselves to that. Yeah, that's true. I definitely make assumptions that peers of mine are like an outdoor roof special. Like, have those imaginary.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, I imagine their thoughts.
Oh, all the time. I hear it. I hear it in their voice. You know.
Like I just picture them talking, and that's like. But I also just like, it's not about them. It's about me. And it's
totally.
And it's about putting out a special at an important time for comedy. You know, I think people deserve a break. This is a very devastating year. So many people have lost their, you know, forms of income and their jobs, and they feel isolated.
Yeah.
And maybe scared. So I think having just even like an hour to just, you know, to laugh a little, like I remember, like I was watching some Colin Quinn special like a couple of weeks ago, just, you know, New York Story, and just laugh. I was like, feels good to just laugh.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. It feels like, cause it is about you, but, it's also about your fans, right? It's about other people. That's kind of what you're saying. And that's what like Seinfeld talks about. Like, it's a mix of selfish, but it's also very generous what we're doing.
I mean, this is my second straight free special. I mean, I have a Patreon link where, you know, but, and look, I'm doing it for selfish and selfless reasons, right? I'm doing it because I want people to see it. But that, I mean, to me, that's a little selfish. I want visibility, you know, but then it's free. So that's cool. I want visibility because my first two specials were behind a paywall on Comedy Central, and like, you get money, but you don't get visibility, and you want that visibility to You want people to know your work and buy tickets. So
literally the decision I wrestled through for the last 3 months. So we took money.
Very, very hard.
Yeah. But thankfully we own it. So it'll be free eventually. You know,
that's what really is important. Is being able to get visibility on it. And like, if you need that money up top, that's great to get paid. And maybe you get the best of both worlds that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what does your mom have to say about the special? Has she seen it?
She's seen it. I think she said, you know, she'll say there's some jokes that are not really mom jokes. So
yeah,
I think there are definitely bits that upset her and you know, and look, that should be, you know, not every joke is a mom joke. So I think she admires that I hustle and that I put something else out. Like, you know, she knows that I'm working hard. It's two specials in 1 year. And I think she, there are bits she loves and there's bits that just are like, I'm sure, like, look, if my mom loved a whole bit, I'd be like, you know what, mom, that's kind of weird, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I definitely do feel support from her.
So, yeah. You know. Mine goes the other way where like my kids, I'm like, these aren't for you.
It's weird. Yeah. I do want the bits to be for the most part for everybody, but every once in a while I just have a good dirty bit and I just, I don't want it to just not exist.
You know? Yeah. Hey, a joke's a joke. As long as they can only be the jokes that you want to tell. If you want to tell them, then go tell them, you know?
If I think, and also if they just hit consistently enough and they're dirty, I'm like, well, they're killing for a reason consistently. Yeah. I think they should make the cut. I have a couple of dirty ones in there, but I think for the most part, I think this special is pretty, it's pretty upbeat for me.
Yeah.
I'm not the most upbeat guy. I think it's a pretty upbeat special. I'm very nervous throughout it, but I am like, I mean, we've cut a lot of scenes of me just panicking, you know?
Oh man, you should have kept those in.
There's a couple of me being like, are people?
Yeah.
I mean, but that was the stress of rooftop specials. It's like my director's like, we need the sunset. We need to start now. And I'd be like, there's six people here. So I'm like freaking out. It was like, this is going to be a wash, this show. And I'm arguing and stuff. And you know, I'm so grateful to Matt Salicuse, who directed this.
It's so good, yeah.
And Dominic Moll, who did the editing and the drone and everything, who is just incredible with those drone shots. And
yes.
And Josh Fear, who's, you know, doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff. So grateful for all of them and making it look cool.
Awesome, man. Well, it's up on your YouTube page, which is youtube.com/. People know how to find stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, just YouTube Sam Morril up on the roof or just YouTube me. It's there.
And, killer, man.
Yeah, dude. And congrats. I've not yet watched it, but I'm going to watch it very soon. And I'm glad you, what's that?
Well, you're one of the people that I would be nervous to watch it. as a matter of fact, I told Taylor, please never watch this with Sam. I don't think
really?
Bear it. Yeah. Well, you know, you feel, you know, there's a lot of comics that, it's impossible to be happy because like if some comic who like, quote unquote, is like behind me or whatever. Like it's all arbitrary anyways. But you know, our careers are all, there's metrics to our careers. Texts me and goes, you know, I love your special. The part of my ego goes like, well, yeah, they should. You know? but then anyone above me, I'm like, well, I hope they only see the best parts of this or they don't know us. You know how it is. You just get,
well,
like,
I saw clips and it looks really good. So it looks like you have a lot to be proud of.
Thank you, my friend. That's very kind of you.
And dude, just, you know, enjoy it because it's rare. It's rare to really feel this. And it's tough. We don't let ourselves enjoy a lot in this business which is a weird thing to say when we're up there getting laughs for jokes, but so much of it is performance that we don't actually like feel the laughs. We don't feel the love a lot of the time.
And it's
especially now where we don't even get that. It's tough to find purpose and to build a new hour over Zoom or to build a new hour by texting friends. And it's a weird position that we're in right now, but try to feel the love from your fans and your friends. And
I appreciate that, man. You too. That's I appreciate the kind words. And yeah, man, I mean, I'm seeing tons of good things about yours. So I hope that you can follow the same advice you're giving me.
I can't, but I can give it.
I knew it. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you doing this. Take care, buddy.
All right. Take care, Dustin.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.